Okay, this is Wayne Messick, and I'm the publisher of ibizresources.com, and I want to welcome everyone on today's call. Now, each of the interviews that we are conducting, we've done several in the past, are brought to you at no charge, and with the sole objective of helping each one of us become more effective communicators. Now, if you're on the phone live right now, please note that the call is on mute so that we have a real clean recording, and don't worry about taking notes, especially, you know, if you're driving or something, because we'll have the digital recording of this event on the Center for Coaching website, and I'll give you that address at the end of the interview. And if this is your first time being with us, let me tell you a little bit about Henry Barbet, and then he'll introduce our guest. Henry is, and I do hope that you'll spend some time on the Center for Coaching website after we're done today. If you're not familiar with the center, but Henry is a highly trained business coach with more than 20 years' experience in business development, marketing, and communication, and he has two advanced degrees from Columbia University, and is an adjunct professor at NYU, New York University School of Continuing and Professional Studies. And Henry, I've known for a decade now, and one thing I know for sure is he is passionate about helping individuals improve their personal, professional, and business effectiveness, which is why he worked so hard and invested so much in the creation of the Strategic Conversations format for peer groups. And today, Henry is interviewing Tonya Papke, someone with real firsthand experience of this process, as she was, you know, part of our first group these many years ago. So I do want to say again formally welcome Henry, and would you please do the honors and tell everyone about Tonya and why you think the interested listeners will be interested in and benefit from hearing from her today.
Yes, well, thank you, Wayne. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. It was so clear and made me feel great hearing it. So thank you. As Wayne said, we are delighted today to be to have as our guest Tonya Papke. And I want to just begin by giving the audience a sense of who Tonya is. Tonya Papke is president of MDI Consulting, a firm that provides financial operations and telecommunications services to nonprofit organizations in New Jersey and New York. Tonya has over 20 years of accounting and financial experience in the nonprofit sector. She's got an MBA from Columbia Business School and an MS in Urban Planning from the Columbia Graduate School of Architecture, Urban Planning, and Historic Preservation. Tonya's worked with hundreds of nonprofit organizations and small businesses to organize financial and operational divisions, create accounting systems and procedures, and put in place systems and procedures for growing organizations. Additionally, she is also a certified financial planner, providing expertise in investment management, insurance, and retirement plans to nonprofit organizations. Tonya, welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here with you today.
Oh, that's
that
wonderful.
Beautiful introduction.
Well, thank you. Tonya, as you're aware, the topic for today is the peer advisory group process. And you were in the group, as Wayne mentioned, you were in a group with Wayne and I a number of years ago. And we wanted to talk with you today about your experience with that. So I want to just start out by asking, how did you come to get involved in a peer advisory group?
Life is very circumstantial. I think 3 months before we began our peer group, I had met another woman, Ruth Stevens, who was in our group for a while, at an award ceremony at Columbia Business School, and she invited me to join this group. We had just beginning a friendship you know, at that point. And so she had brought me into this, into the peer advisory group that we were all in, not knowing her very much. And I don't think I met the two of you until we'd actually been working together for 6 months, maybe 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we all, the four of us all came together, kind of knowing, developing a friendship and a collaboration through the phone before actually, you know, meeting with each other live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We had a number of, I guess we were meeting by phone for about 3 months.
Right.
Before we had an in-person meeting.
Right, exactly.
To meet face-to-face.
Right.
Well, how was, you know, your experience with that? How was it helpful to you?
You know, where do I start? I mean, I think one of our group was instrumental in a number of ways. One is we were very rigorous in some way about keeping it to business goals and objectives and towards helping each other meet those. And so I think stating at the beginning of a year and then restating at the beginning of each quarter our specific goals and objectives, all four of us, there were four for the most part, and emailing those to each other so we always had our goals written down and those of the other three individuals. And I am close to our heart, and I know the three of you always had me very much in mind. And so really binding ourselves together to, you know, saying, yes, these are my objectives. Some of them seem totally like impossible and way out of the ordinary, you know, to really, you know, maybe we'll talk specifics, maybe it's not so necessary, but I know that some of the goals that some of us set were like, I don't believe I can really make this, and we did, you know. And I think that the most important, what it helped me was, is to, you know, state these goals, keep on track, bring my, you know, the problems that I were having, and I think, you know, the two of you see things so differently than I do, so I could bring in this thing and, you know, I get emotional, even though I'm an accountant and I tend to, like, think, you know, I'm a type A personality, I get emotional about things. And I remember sometimes, Wayne, when you just said, Sonia, be quiet, it's this. And it was like, oh my God, that was it. You know, it was like, I was off over here in left field emoting, and it's really this. You know, cut to the quick, this is the issue, and this is how you resolve it. I don't even know, I can't even intentionally imagine what would have happened if, you know, Wayne, a couple of those times, and you too, Henry, hadn't, you know, stopped me.
Mm-hmm.
and really given me a whole different way of looking at something that has had repercussions for years,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a good way. And I think keeping it to goals and objectives and not, you know, sometimes we pass leads on to each other, but that wasn't the purpose of this group. It was really, here's what I want. I'm going to be held accountable to it. Every 2 weeks we get on the phone, and if I don't want to mention it, somebody else is going to say, wait a minute, Tony, didn't you say you were going to update your website? Well, yeah, well, come on, you know, it's important. Or discuss why. And I think it was right on. It was, I think, bringing four people together who came from different worlds, came from different industries, and, you know, having a gender balance, two women, two men, we always had like three or four different ways to approach something.
Mm-hmm. So it was very business and professional focused, goals focused, so all the members were focused on their goals, and there was that sense of accountability.
Right.
Like you would, every time we'd show up, you know, we'd be, you know, concerned about how did things go for each other.
Right.
How did the calls, share with our listeners how the calls, you know, were structured, how they operated?
Well, I think we did have a very specific structure, and I think that helped a lot. We had an hour. It was every other Friday at 7 a.m. For us, that worked. Because no matter where we were, what we were doing, what our kids were doing, unless we were like in Japan or something, which happened, but you know, we could get on the phone at 7 a.m. And everyone, you know, that was very important, you know, that we maintain that commitment and to be on the phone at 7 a.m. And so every other Friday morning, that's how I remember the rhythm. It was every other Friday at 7 a.m. And with four of us, we allowed 15 minutes per person. We always assigned, like, one person as a clock master, you know, to keep track of the 15 minutes, so everyone had 15 minutes. And then an individual, each of us had that 15 minutes to kind of talk about the different goals on our written plan, you know, or bring something else up. But, you know, we had that 15 minutes to present any issues that we were addressing, or sometimes it was, oh my God, I got a book deal, you know? But generally, you know, to have, okay, 15 minutes is your time, you know, like Wayne would bring up, okay, my goals are this, this is the problem I'm having with goal number two, what does the group think? And so, and then at the end, you know, at the end of 15 minutes, it was on to the next person. And so we really, that kind of rigor again, kept some of the chit, we didn't have time to chit chat, you know, during these meetings. It was really to the point, and it was all goal oriented. And so that would be the structure of that hour call. I think we always kept it to an hour.
Great. Yeah. No. And you know, that makes sense, because then everybody, you know, their time is protected.
Right.
Because some people, you know, inevitably in any group of people, there are going to be some people that are chattier than others. Other people are very short and to the point. And by kind of saying, all right, everybody gets 15 minutes, and having someone watching it as a clock, it protects that. So I think that's great, you know, and that needs to be part of any kind of a group, a professional group call like this.
Absolutely.
What about confidentiality? How is confidentiality? Was there any kind of agreement about that, or any concerns about that for you?
Well, you know, we were all from four different industries, and that was important to all of us. And if I remember correctly, I certainly feel this now, so I don't remember the actual conversation, but I do remember that we made a commitment to keep whatever was in the group in the group. And I think that was really great, because, you know, our spouses don't need to hear about this. I mean, at least my spouse. so it was a protected environment, because especially some of us were really, you know, occasionally, at least once, all of us bared our souls. And it was really important to know that when we did get together socially, which we have, that it was only the four of us that knew that. It wasn't, you know, the significant other that all, you know, they didn't need to know that. And I certainly feel over these last, I believe that we've known each other 5 years, that confidentiality has been maintained. Very important. Because you're bearing your soul.
Right.
This is a group where you say, I don't know what I'm doing. I had a client who wouldn't pay me, and I don't know what to do about it. You know, whatever. It's very important.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that's where, you're right, when people need to share something that, you know, is of a confidential nature. I mean, that's the real power of these kinds of groups, because then you get three other people, trusted people who can listen to the concern and provide insight or support or feedback.
Right, and you, because you're talking about your business problems, and you know,
right,
it goes out on the street.
Exactly.
How
about responsibilities? Did you, you know, from, you know, every other week, you had the format of every other week. Did you have responsibilities between the calls? What were your responsibilities to the group?
We had set up a Yahoo group, so we, you know, at the end of each call, we all had a to-do list. And some of it involved in, oh, I have some resources for you, I can give you this. And so, you know, between those 2 weeks, we had, you know, commitments that we made to each other about, you know, resources and you know, feedback. And And then we also had, you know, our to-do list that, you know, with deadlines that we promised to meet before the next meeting. I think, you know, I think the idea of responsibility and commitment is really important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really critical that all members of the group are all in.
Right.
And that each is discusses how, you know, what are they, you know, how committed they are and what they're willing to give these other three human beings that they're joining arm in arm with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really is a key factor for any kind of a group process is the commitment of the members.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
To show up and to be there for the calls. Because otherwise, if somebody misses something, it changes the dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, you want to make sure you have people there that don't do it only when it's convenient, because we've had some experience of somebody being in a group who, well, it wasn't convenient, or, you know, it's harmful.
Right.
You know, to have a strong group, I think we met for 4 years, if I'm right, right? Maybe 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a rule that if somebody missed 3 meetings, they were out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was really important. You know, you can't, I mean, if you're in Indonesia out in the countryside, you can't make the call. But, you know, if you're in Colorado, there's certainly, why not?
Right.
The phone.
Right. Now, if there's someone on listening to us, Tonya, on the call here who's thinking about it, what would you advise them? What tips would you give them about, you know, getting into a group, this kind of a peer advisory group structure?
Getting the most out of it?
Yeah. You know, I mean, how would you, you know, what wisdom would you share with them from your experience?
Okay. I think that it works best when, and I could see this when it slipped a little bit, what we were missing is that to have goals that are very clearly articulated, written out, and that are measurable. You know, we all learn this stuff, you know, planning is, you know, measurable and,
mm-hmm.
time-driven and all that. But to have objectives that you can really measure and have those written out with time frames and have them written out and share them with group members, like, at the beginning, because it has certain, like, we really worked on quarters,
mm-hmm.
quarter basis, and there was something magical about that, like on January 1st or January 7th, stating our objectives that could be measured, like, you know, get 4 new clients or, you know, get my business card done that were due by the end of the quarter. I think that's the most important thing, is just
mm-hmm.
really to, you know, when someone's joining the group and having an effective group, that you have those written out and they're clear.
Mm-hmm.
I think the makeup of the group is really important. I think the rule that you know, I think you set this up for, I don't know who it was, but the rule that we had at the beginning was 3 times you miss and you're out. I think that was really important. I mean, I know I missed a couple and you guys called me on it, and then it was, you have to be all in or you have to be out, you know.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, if there's a certain kind of energy that made us unstoppable, the four of us.
Mm.
We were unstoppable. I mean, look what the four of us did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were all in. We were there for each other. We didn't miss a call. Ruth used to call from Hawaii sometimes, you know. And I think that's really important, having 4 people from different walks of life. So you're not just grabbing, you know, the 3 people that are in your new business group because you think this would be great.
Right.
I think having people with very different aspects, but all at different levels of experience, because the 4 of us were very, we had a lot of experience. We were in a certain life cycle of our businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were peers. I guess that's it. We were peers, you know. I think that's important.
Now, since you've mentioned that, is that something that could be, is that a critical piece? In other words, could a group benefit if you have having younger people with less experience?
I think maybe you'd have to see the chemistry of the group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's so critical as really being all in.
Okay.
and having and being very clear about this is for meeting business objectives. It's not to schmooze, and it's not to, you know, get business leads.
Right.
There's other vehicles that are much more useful than this for generating business through lead generation.
Right. And you mentioned another piece I want to just ask you about. How about the comfort level? How important is that a factor? If, you know, feeling comfortable with the people that are in your group.
Well, I guess you'd have to, you'd want to be able to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
and feel like, frankly, I'm not gonna, if I don't feel like someone is being thoughtful, because I actually was in a group after ours that was trying to meet face to face, and there was somebody in there that always brought it around to him. You know, even during my 15 minutes, it went around to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that he said, I didn't really trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know whether he was really taking me in or he was just saying, well, I did this, so you should do this. So I don't know if that's answering your question, but I think it's important to kind of have a sense of who, you know, like, know, well, we never knew each other,
mm-hmm.
personally, but to, you know, to know the a little bit of the background and experience of the people and have a sense of who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think you in answering my question, you touched on that important thing that you have, like with that individual who joined later,
mm-hmm.
who every time, even when it was your time to talk and he would offer a comment,
mm-hmm.
he'd bring it back to him.
Right.
And after a while, you just didn't, you grew not to trust him.
And yeah, this wasn't in our group. This was in our
right.
group. Yeah.
Right.
But yes, I didn't, because he was giving advice that had nothing to do with who I was.
Yeah, and I also agree. I think that's a critical piece, that a group needs to, you know, there needs to be either some kind of facilitation or guidance to keep it on track and to keep that, to prevent that from happening, or to deal with that up front, or the group could deteriorate.
Right, because, I think, you know, having a facilitator in that case to gently kind of, like, see that, you know, because, you know, someone can see that person's giving advice that's really, well, they did this in their business, so this woman should do it even though her whole business is different than his. I think having a facilitator could see that and then gently kind of assist that person to be able to speak in a way that's more helpful
yeah.
to the other individual. I think he might have been able to be more helpful if there had been a facilitator in that case.
Mm-hmm.
The group, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because again, you know, just like you had that reaction, you know, when people are sharing important things and if you begin to feel uncomfortable,
right,
you know, it's going to change the value to you
mm-hmm.
of that type of a setting.
Right, right.
Would you do it again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, like in the town where I live, we tried to do these face-to-face through mm-hmm. the Chamber of Commerce, and it just didn't work, because even if we're living within two blocks of each other, we couldn't find a time and a place where we could all physically get to the same place.
Mm.
I think doing it by phone is, you know, the only way to go in terms of a long-term commitment, you know, because no matter where you are, if you find a time, like 7 a.m. was great for all of us, you know, for most of us, you know,
right.
it worked for 4 years, you know. And I think I definitely would do it again.
Mm, great.
Because I couldn't have done what I did in my business, you know, without working arm to arm with the three of you.
Mm. Well, that's quite a testimonial. Wayne, I'd like to invite you into the discussion here. Comments, questions?
Well, I was just thinking about one particular call that we were on, And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Tonya was actually calling from her car as she was driving along the New Jersey Turnpike or something. And
right, exactly.
Driving by all of these industrial facilities of one kind or another, and she was talking about the fact that that she wanted to grow her business, and she had spent her whole life working with nonprofits, but there were all these businesses around, and she wanted to grow her business by starting to work and starting to call on and trying to get into the business market. And one of the people on the call, you know, just kind of brought her back to saying, you know, maybe it's easier and more productive if you will focus where you are already comfortable rather than spending the time and energy it's going to take to try to get into, if you will, another market. And through the course of that conversation and then subsequent conversations, I think that Tonya was able to really focus on where she was already successful, where she was already comfortable. At that time, if memory serves, she was doing all of this herself. And now, I believe you have a couple of employees that are helping you, and you have more business now than ever before, and it's all really directly attributed back to the point that you decided to, through the conversation in the group, decided that what you needed to do is focus where you were already doing good.
Right. I remember this, because I had a series of conversations bringing this in, and finally, through the help of, you know, somebody that joined for a while, it was clear that it was this kind of like, yeah, why? It was not necessary, and it was based on something that wasn't central to my major objective. And yeah, it was so freeing, because then I could explore it with the group of why do I want to do this, and you know what's behind this, and then just come to a conclusion. And then small businesses and manufacturing got removed from my website and from all my literature, and then business just, you know, blossoms, because I could focus on what I wanted to do in my heart anyway, you know, and I remember that conversation because I was on the phone because I had to be someplace at 8:30,
yeah,
so I was surviving for that whole hour on my cell phone.
What a great story!
I have so much gratitude for that, because I've been struggling with that question for a decade, and it finally became crystal clear and clear. You know, something just clicked, and that's it. So it's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Well, and Wayne, I recall you having some breakthroughs on from your involvement with this peer advisory group process as well.
Well, I spend a great deal of time by myself and thinking about things, and the result of that is that some things you can really drill down and become dramatically clear on. Other things you have, and this is a problem that I've had, you make assumptions based on stuff that you haven't really thought through, and the further you drill down, the more wrong the conclusion becomes. And when you're able to share it in an environment where you know that the people that are there are giving you, you know, we're, like we were not in any way, shape, or form competitive with one another or in each other's business or anything. So, and as Tonya said, we were peers. We'd all been around for a while. People were able to say, well, you know, did you think about it from this point of view, or did you think about that? And then all of a sudden you think, oh yeah, I've been looking at this one way when I should have been looking at it another way, and now the conclusion that I should be reaching, you know, has become, you know, more clear. And that helped me when we were publishing, you know, Doing It Right, and a number of different times when bringing things to me from a totally different perspective. You know, the people always refer to the aha moments. Well, I had a lot of those aha moments. You know, you can read your own press releases for so long that you become so enthusiastic about your own importance that when someone says, well, what about that? Then you think, oh, yeah, I didn't think about it that way because, you know, I didn't know to. I'd been believing my own press releases, I guess.
Yeah. And what I like is that the feedback you're getting, there's no vested interest. In other words, there's, you know, you talk about an important thing at the office with somebody. They may have a an interest in telling you to do it one way or another, or you share with a family member. It could be too emotional. So to be able to share and to talk honestly with trusted peers in this kind of a setting is very powerful. Because no one is, you know, your best intention is what is held the highest.
Right, right, and what you stated are your business goals.
Right.
So it all comes you back to that. It all right. comes back to stating these goals and in line with that. Because I know some of us kind of, I don't remember exactly who it was, but somebody was kind of deviating a little bit, and you could say, well, let me go back to what you said you wanted to do. You know, is this in that direction?
Well, that was probably me, who, because I've always had a difficult time. I have goals, but I always refer to them as my 12-month rolling agenda that kind of is in perpetual change. And I've never been good at actually quantifying things until I had to, you know, for the group. And there were times when I would be, I quit doing that. That wasn't important to me. You know, and well, why not? You know, if it was important enough to put on your goal sheet, why isn't it important to you 2 weeks later?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that I was the guilty party, no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, Tonya, we know that you're very busy, and we're not going to ask you to devote too much more time. Any closing comments that you would share with our audience today? About this process and the benefits of it.
I guess I would just say that to me it made like the unlikely possible, and speaking about some of the dreams that the four of us and you know and there were a couple of there were two other people that came in and stayed for short periods of time. You know, I look at some of the goals and the dreams that people came in with. And we were able to, I mean, I think of you, Henry, and what you have accomplished, you know, and we did that together by creating a group that cared about each other and our business goals. And I'm very grateful to that because I can see the work that we did together, the fruit of that is still, you know, apparent in my workplace.
Mm. Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. That's wonderful to hear. Well, Tonya, thank you for joining us as our guest today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been great to talk to you.
And we would like you to come back on a future call and join us again and talk about this process. So, you know, again, thank you, Tonya. Wayne, any closing comments for Tonya?
No, that's it. I look forward to seeing you in the next year.
Great.
As we move through the holidays here and into the next year.
Fabulous. Sounds fun. Wonderful.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tonya, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Well, Wayne, that was another encouraging call about the power of the peer group process, what we're calling strategic conversations.
Well, I mean, it certainly was. And I, you know, as we have worked, you and I have worked together, and as you've put all this time and energy into the development of the process itself and the all of the bricks and mortar, if you will, the thing that make it real, I had forgotten, you know, that when she mentioned about the quarterly goals and all that, I'd forgotten where where that came from. You know, that came from that very first you brought that into that very first meeting, and of course now we're using a private discussion group, but the genesis of that was those Yahoo groups in the old days. So it was interesting, because I hadn't spoken with Tonya before today. I hadn't spoken with her for probably almost a year, and it's interesting when we were talking on the phone today, I asked her how old her son was, you know, and my gosh, you know, he's, you know, 5 years, almost 6 years older than he was when we first started having these strategic conversations. So a lot of time has gone by, and I think everyone that you know, as because we've all kind of stayed in touch, everyone has benefited. So the thing that is remarkable to me is that even after all of this time of not being in the group together, we still feel comfortable picking up the phone and asking one another help and advice and opinions. And I think we've created in our own little small way lifetime relationships with people that none of us see each other on a regular basis, but lifetime trusting relationships. And I think what she said about the trusting and the confidentiality and about the commitment, I mean, she didn't really go into it, but, you know, there were a couple of people that joined us for whom it seemed like a good idea at the time, and they made some contributions. But in the final analysis, they didn't have the kind of commitment that you and she and Ruth and I had, and it goes back to the importance of, you know, the investment in a strategic conversation process. The investment is serious, because the investment is in your time, and your time and your attention are the only two things that are in true limited supply.
Right. Well, Wayne, let's share with our listeners today some of the principles of the strategic conversation group, which we are, presenting to the audience. Tell the audience members kind of how the process works. Supposing, you know, for example, there's someone on the call who says, you know, it sounds interesting, I might be interested. How does it work? How do I get going in something like this?
Well, the way that I like to approach everything, really, is that if it's not for you, there is no charge. In other words, I want people to feel confident that they can contact the center by email or by phone and speak to you, speak to one of the others of us if they wish, and through that conversation, I want them to be able to come to a considered business opinion about the value, the potential value of a strategic conversation group to them, knowing that if the mutual decision is that you're not ready for this is not something that there's another thing, another way for you to approach this, that they can walk away from it and there was no charge, there was no commitment to have that discussion. I mean, so many things these days, you have to make a commitment before you know it's right for you.
And so people can call in, you know, they can speak with me or someone else at the center and just get straight answers to their questions.
Right, because we're looking for long-term relationships, and if someone is not right for us, or if this is not right for them, then, you know, it's in all of our interests to part as friends and not try to feel that we need to, make money from that process, and of course, once the decision is made to go forward, then our role is to be there with them every step of the way, helping them to sort out those people that they respect, that they would like to be part of a group or consider, and then weigh those people in a way to find out, because what Tonya said is true, is absolutely right. I mean, a balance is important in many different ways, so that we can invite people. And of course, we're certainly involved in that whole process, so that because our role is to make sure that this is successful.
Right. So these strategic conversations groups, I'm going to jump in here, Wayne. These are professionally facilitated groups by you, myself, and other team members at the Center for Coaching. So that these are groups of individuals, you know, say 6 to 8 people that are professionally run. So these groups, so people can understand, they would meet a couple of times a month for 90 minutes. During that time, everyone on the call would have their, you know, a piece of that call devoted to them and their situation, whatever they wanted to talk about. And there would be a professional facilitator moving things forward in line with the group's goals, the group consensus of how they want these meetings to be run.
That's exactly right. And in addition, of course, our private discussion groups, as Tonya described, allows the members to keep in touch in between times with issues that you know, that are of a continuing nature.
So the official calls are every 2 weeks, but the dialogue amongst the group members is unending, you know, between those calls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Wayne, I want to give the audience the number to call in. For anyone who's interested in getting information, please call this number, which is 212-517-3628. You can also visit our website. You can visit the page strategicconversations.com, or you can go to the centerforcoaching.com website, and then go over to the navigation bar and click on community, and you'll be able to access these audio recordings, which have just more information on the process. And just, they can also, Wayne, by going to the website, get a copy of the 5 keys to strategic conversations. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about that special report that we've created?
Okay, well, before I do that, and actually if you could do that, that would be good, because I'm trying to manage this console here with this recording. But before I let anything else go by, I want to make sure that everyone knows that if they happened upon this call by accident, if they happened upon the website pages by accident, they need to go back to the Center for Coaching or go back to strategicconversations.com and join the announcement list, because it is that announcement list that will let them know in advance the specific day and time, usually a few weeks ahead of time, so that they can put the next call on their calendar. And I must also say that if someone goes and they sign up, then they will know 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time when the next call is going to come up. And that gives them an opportunity to tell their friends and the people that they respect to also call in, so that they can all be a part of that that week's that month's discussion.
Great. Yeah, the special report, I just want to give a little people, the listeners, a sense of the 5 keys report. It's on our centerforcoaching.com website, and then you just click on the navigating link for our community, and then it's under reports. But there's a wonderful report on there it's available for our listeners to download, on the 5 key principles of strategic conversations. And those are: set the context, demonstrate interest, feedback for clarification, show appreciation, and extend yourself. And each of those principles is elaborated in the report, so that the listeners can get the full sense of the power of those principles in action. Wayne, tell us a little bit about, you know, what we can expect on the next call that's going to come up.
Well, on the next call, we have I have a kind of feelers out to two very, very successful business owners. Both of them are involved in their own companies, but in one particular case, they've taken their family business public, and one other people is a professional speaker in addition to consultant as well as a business owner, and both of them have extensive experience in the universe of peer groups, but they have from very different backgrounds, and I think it'll be very, very interesting. And these are people that are not here on the East Coast; they're in the Midwest and in California. So they may have done things in a different way, and so it'll be very, very interesting to hear this unscripted, unrehearsed comments from one of these business owners, and if it's possible, we'll get them both in successive months. But I'm still trying to nail down the first one first.
Great, no, that's great. And once we do have that nailed down, we will broadcast to the list.
Which is why the information. Which is why it's important for everyone out there to be getting on that Strategic Conversations announcement list if they're not already on it. I don't think you're going to want to miss. These are people whose names you might recognize. These are people who are very, very successful in their field and in other fields as well. So this is not something you want to miss. So you definitely want to sign up and tell your friends to sign up.
Great. Now, Wayne, for individuals who may want to listen to this recording again, you know, maybe they were driving, maybe they didn't take notes, and there are some things on here that they would like to hear again. How can they go about finding the link for the audio for this today's discussion?
Well, on centerforcoaching.com, and I hope that each person listening will consider this an amazing resource. On centerforcoaching.com, in the corporate area, you click on that community link, as Henry just said, and there are four different areas there. One of the report, which currently contains the five keys to strategic conversations. Another one that has audio links to half a dozen different interviews, each one with a very different kind of person and each one from a very different perspective, but all about effective communications. There's and this recording will be posted up there within the next 24 hours or so. And then there's a link to some case studies, people that are using, and taking advantage of the elements of strategic conversations in running their business, and then there's a link to some additional free resources. Actually, it's a strategic planning toolkit that's free that you can use to help have those conversations, that take place as part of creating the agenda. So, bottom line, go to centerforcoaching.com, and I think that you'll be able to find tremendous number of resources that can help you, and of course they're all available at no charge, and we want you to be sure to take advantage of those five keys, whether you're having a formal strategic conversation or if you're just having a 5-minute meeting with a colleague on a street corner.
Yeah, that's great. That's the applicability of almost universal applicability of these principles, what makes them, in my mind, so valuable. Well, Wayne, that brings us to the end of the call today. Thank you for all your assistance with this call and your insights and inspiration and excitement for this process. And I look forward to our next call coming up in December.
Great. Nice talking to you.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.